Hebrews chapter 12. I was considering doing Abraham this week, but I discovered later on in the week that I was preaching, and so I sort of ran out a little bit of time. And Abraham's an extensive study. So in light of Memorial Day, I thought, I'm going to do something about remembering. Now, tomorrow, Elizabeth Township, Elizabeth Borough, and Forward Township have a Memorial Day parade and service for all the veterans in our area. It's a nice service. I was the ministering officiant for 2 years in a row, where you get up there and you get in a suit when everybody else is nice and cool, and it's 90 degrees out, and you pray, and you say a few words. And I think it's very important that we remember and recognize the price for our freedom here in America. However, the thing that weighs higher above that is our eternal freedom and the price that was paid for that by Jesus Christ. I am absolutely 100% always in favor of recognizing our veterans and supporting them. I don't think our country does a good enough job in general of remembering our veterans. But at the end of the day, the freedom that matters most is our freedom from hell, our freedom from death, and our freedom from sin. And Jesus Christ paid that price. And that's the price that ultimately matters most. So I just wanted to look at three different things here. The first one being, and Dan was sharing this morning about gentlemen who wrote hymns. And it's interesting because when you do read the history behind these songs and these hymns, you realize there's a lot of depth to these men. The only way a song can have depth is if the writer has depth. If the writer is very superficial in their Christianity, chances are the song will be superficial in its Christianity. The reason that these hymns impacted so many people and have stood the test of time, it's because the men who wrote them and women who wrote them, that their Christianity impacted people and stood the test of time. And so therefore, because they had depth, their songs had depth. I think it's important for us to remember those individuals who paid a price not only for their Christianity, but for ours as well. The only reason we know about Christ, the only reason we have the scriptures, the reason that we know about the gospel is because men and women were willing to pay sometimes the ultimate price to bring us Jesus Christ, to bring us the gospel of God, to bring us the scriptures. And if we forget those things and we live in our modern day American society where Christianity is more of a playground and a cliche, then we lose sight of the fact that Christianity, it can be very costly, as Horatio Spafford said, that to have this right here costs somebody something. Namely, their life, sometimes. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says this: "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight, the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us." So since then we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Now, I've heard sermons on this where people have preached and taught that the witnesses are looking down from us from heaven. I don't know if that is true or not true. It really doesn't actually even matter. The witness that I'm mostly referring to is the fact that there are Christian examples and there are people whose witness came before us in the way that they lived their lives through the example that they lived here on earth. If you look back, actually, one chapter in Hebrews, and you don't have to turn there. I can read it to you if you like. But verse 32 says a lot of these things. It says, "And what more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak, Samson, Japheth, and David, and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of their weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead from the resurrection. Others were tortured, okay? So the first few verses, yay, that's good. Shutting the mouths of lions, that means they didn't get eaten. They escaped the sword. All these wonderful things. But here 35 all of a sudden doesn't become so pleasant, or 36 rather. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to attain a better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in the desert and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. So all of a sudden, this first few verses was like, yeah, that sounds good. I can deal with that. I can live with that. Then all of a sudden, it turns very unpleasant. And it reminds us that a high price was paid for our Christianity. For us to know the gospel and the truth of God's word, there was a huge price that was paid for that. There was a huge price that they paid for their obedience and their allegiance to their one and only King. The early apostles, of the 12, one committed suicide, one died of an old age, which was John, although they tried to kill him several times. They threw him in a vat of boiling oil and he didn't die. It's because God had chosen him to write the book of Revelation and it wasn't his time. So that's a wonderful lesson. That's a whole other sermon. But all the other 10 died martyr's death. I mean, Peter was crucified upside down. Matthew was crucified on an X. James was killed with a spear. There was beheadings. There was beatings of the original 12. And why were they willing to pay that price? It's because they were absolutely convinced of who Jesus was and the joy of their salvation. That doesn't even count when you get into like the Reformation and you deal with like Martin Luther and his fine fellows and Calvin and those men. Getting into the Great Awakening, the persecution that the Wesley suffered and Jonathan Edwards forming a new church with the Methodists and all those things. I mean, these things didn't happen easily for these men. There was price to be paid. There was suffering. Communism infiltrating the over in China and all those other communist states. I mean, people paid a large price for their Christianity. Those Christians in Germany during the time of Hitler's reign, they were considered as Jews, equal with Jews, and suffered along with the Jewish race for their Christianity and because they did not want to forsake who they were. You can read books like Fox's Christian Martyrs of the World or The Newsboys Shine or DC Talk's Jesus Freaks. If you're at all interested, you can get a newsletter that talks about Christian martyrs. The point is that it's important that we realize that the fact that we know God came at a price and came at a high cost that so many people were willing to pay. And we have to ask ourselves, Father, are we willing to pay that same price? Are we willing to give of ourselves and our freedom and our comfort, if necessary, and in order that others may know Jesus Christ as well? The other part of that is Philippians chapter 3, verse 17 says this. Paul writes and says, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the profit. Oh, wait, I'm sorry, I'm in chapter 4. Chapter 3. 17. Brothers and sisters, join in imitating me and observing those who live according to the example that you have in us. There are people who have influenced our Christianity even here and now. There are mentors and people who have led us to Christ and directed us toward his heart. There are people who have been there for us. And when we look back in our lives, we think, I wouldn't be the person I am today. I wouldn't be necessarily even a Christian without this person. So in our remembering, I think it's very important to remember those who have who have influenced our lives and influenced our Christianity and have guided us and directed us to Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul says, imitate me, but only as I imitate Christ. We should remember with gratitude those who directly impacted our life for Jesus Christ. Because sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we forget the gratitude part of it. It's like, yeah, I'm a self-made person. But really, we're not necessarily. There are people in our lives who have impacted us now and recently and have done so with the way that they've lived their lives around us and the love that they've shown, the fact that they've invested their lives in us. So as we remember, I think that that's important to do so. Go now to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Church history is a great thing, I think. Right now I'm reading a book. It's two volumes. They're both about that thick. And it's the church, the history of Christianity. And it's written from an objective point of view. The guy's a Christian, but he's not writing it from a Christian perspective. He's writing it from a historical perspective. And it's amazing what these early fathers, forefathers, and women did in order for people to know Jesus Christ, the things that they suffered, the things they went through. The second thing I think it's important for us to remember is right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. We'll go down to 29. Consider your own call. Okay, in the NIV it says, remember what you were when you were called, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are, so that no one may boast in the presence of God. I think it's important to remember what we were when we were called. Not for the purpose of guilt, not to look back and think, oh, I was such a horrible, terrible, rotten person and live in the guilt of that. But it's an exercise in humility. It's an exercise in gratitude to look back and think, man, when I got saved, I can't believe like how that happened. I can't believe the person I used to be. To look back in our life and think, man, look at the person that I once was. Look at the person that God saved me from being. Look at the person, the things that I used to do. And of course, we're not to dwell on those things and live in that, because if we focus too much on that, we don't grow. But there's a point of humility, of looking back on our lives and thinking, man, Jesus Christ saved me when I was a wretched sinner. Just like Dan said this morning, and John Newton said before, I know what I once was. And the reason I'm so convinced of his grace is because it saved me from that. And I think it's important that we do remember that. We remember what we were when we were called. Not for the purpose of guilt, but for the purpose of humility and gratitude. I think it's even sometimes interesting to look at our lives and think, Lord, what would we be without you? Like, not only what we were without you, what would we be without you? Like, in our lives, where would we be? Like, what a mess our lives would be without Jesus Christ. I mean, I don't want to imagine or picture the person that I would be without Jesus Christ. I can be very mean, and I can be very stubborn, and I can be very ridiculous. And my wife will gladly testify to all three of those things, just not in public. I don't want to know the person I would be without God in my life. I mean, I can't imagine who that would be. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says this. And I think this is a reminder to all of us. And I must say that it is a... this will not go over well for people's self-esteem, but that's the point. Chapter 12, verse 3, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to, but with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned to us. that we are to have a reality, a real image and picture of who we are, to understand that, like, we have weaknesses and we're not necessarily strong in every area and aspect of life. That we should judge ourselves with sober judgment. That we should be realistic about ourselves and our intentions and our emotions and the way that we think and the way that we handle ourselves and the way that we live. Hebrews chapter 10 says this, if you guys want to turn there, verse 32 through 36. I think this is a great passage. But recall those early days when, after you had been enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to abuse and persecution, sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion for those who were in prison, and you cheerfully accepted the plundering of your possessions. Cheerfully accepted that. That's hard. Knowing that you yourselves possess something better and more lasting. Do not therefore abandon that conscience of yours. It brings a great reward. That confidence of yours. It brings a great reward. The writer says, recall those early days. Remember the early days in your walk with God. I think it's good. And I mean, you may or may not do this already, and you may or may want to start to do it, and that's fine, because someone inspired me to do it. I think it's good to keep a journal or a diary or whatever you want to call it, about what you're struggling with, about what God has brought you through, about the things that you're dealing with in your life. And on occasion, I look back on those things and I say, man, Lord, I remember that. And that was hard and that was difficult. But you brought me through that. It's a testimony to your grace and your goodness in my life. That we are to remember those early days. And the early days being described here was they were hard with struggle and suffering, with persecution, with the plundering of their possessions. Like, there are times in our life when we will be tested. We will be put to the test. And it's good to look back on those things and see God's faithfulness in them. To see how God brought us through those things and faithfully, with his grace and his mercy, just carried us through. And it's because we can look hope that those things occur, and we're able to do those things because we can look ahead to our future hope, as the writer here in Hebrews just wrote. That when life throws its blows at us, we know that our only hope does not lie in this world. That our hope and our joy must lie beyond this. It must lie beyond what is eternal. It must lie on his presence and being one day united with him. But there are times in our life when it will be very difficult. And journal the times when it's good. Journal the times when there's blessing and there's overflow, because those are important too. But I think it is good to remember those early days. And here's another thing that I think it's important for us to remember. So I guess it would be the third thing. Number one would be remembering those who've gone on before us. Remember the fact that there was a great price paid for our Christianity to bring us the Word of God, the Scriptures, and the Gospel. And remembering those that have affected our lives. Remembering who we were prior to Christ, so that we walk humbly before him. We do not walk humbly, more thinking higher of ourselves than we ought. Remembering those early days, what God has brought us through, and what he has has seen us through. So here would be the last one. Romans chapter 5. And I think if you're reminded of nothing else, this should be something that is constantly, that we constantly should be aware of and constantly reminded of. And because we live in a society where Christianity right now is okay and free and nominally accepted, as long as we don't challenge other people's lifestyles, We take these things for granted. We read these things, we understand them, we know them, but we take them for granted. Opposed to a society where, who is the author of How Great Thou Art? You don't remember, do you? When he was there and they read a scripture verse about Jesus dying for their sins, they all cheered. Sometimes we read those things and we read over them because it's so programmed and accepted. But to really understand the reality of it is Romans chapter 5, starting in 6. For while we were still weak and at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more surely then, now that we have been justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from the wrath of God. Here, this is an amazing thing for me in verse 10. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, how much surely, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life? We were enemies of God. Before we were saved, we want to think back and look on our lives and remember who we were and what we were before we knew Jesus Christ. We were God's enemies. But yet, because of his graciousness and his love, at just the right time, Christ died for us, the ungodly. That's who we were. That's who we were. And yet, Jesus Christ still died for us. We were the ungodly. 1 Peter says that it was the righteous who died for the unrighteous. That it was the spotless. He who knew no sin became sin for the sinner. That rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. Although for a good person someone might dare to die. But God proves the extent in his love that while we were still sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. He didn't die for us because we were worth it. He didn't die for us because we were righteous. He died for us because it is in his, because of his great love for us. And his love is his nature. It's part of who he is. Therefore, it has nothing to do with us. It doesn't have anything to do with us. It has everything to do with who God is. It has to do with it, his nature. His an attribute and a characteristic of who he is love. Therefore, he loved us. Therefore, he died for us, in spite of ourselves, in spite of when we were ungodly, in spite of when we were his enemies, in spite of when we were unrighteous, he still died for us. That should be something that we remember as often as we possibly can. To recall and remember that I am only found righteous. I am only found spotless and sanctified by Jesus Christ. The Father is only satisfied because of the sacrifice of his Son. Colossians 1 says this, which I love this wording as well. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. And you who were once estranged is how it is translated in my Bible, but the actual Greek word is alienated. And you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds. You want to know who we were before Jesus Christ? We were alienated, hostile in mind, and doing evil deeds. He is now reconciled in his fleshly body through death, so as to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him. We were hostile in mind. We were alienated from God. We did evil deeds. And yet he reconciled us in spite of all that. That to me, we should remember always. Galatians, I think it's chapter 1, says that Jesus Christ rescued us from this present evil age. One of the other things he did, he rescued us from this world. He rescued us from the evil in this world. And those are things that I think we should always remember and always recall. I'm going to close with this scripture. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Scripture and a quote. My wife has a baby shower to go to. I didn't offend her. She's not leaving because I said something. Just so you Tony, you normally lead worship on the fourth Sunday, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Dan led it today. That's unusual. It usually doesn't happen, right?
Yeah.
But I think it's interesting because a lot of the things that I said today, that it was like reflecting on what Dan said. And I actually have prepared a quote by none other than John Newton to close the sermon. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9 through 11. Great passage by Paul. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. So that's Paul saying, okay, let's be real here. Let me be honest with you. Let me not think more highly of myself than I ought. This is where I am. This is who I was before Jesus Christ. I was the least of the apostles. I was unfit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. That's who I was. Verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God within me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so we have come to believe. This is not a statement of low self-esteem. Okay, our society puts this huge emphasis on self-esteem. If Paul wrote this or said this today, a psychologist would probably say, you have a low self-esteem. This is a declaration of truth and humility. That's all this is. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. On the contrary, I worked harder than all of them, though I was not I, but the grace of God. Whether then it was I or they, Paul was saying, listen, this is who I was. This is the truth of who I was. This is what I did, but yet, because of the grace of God, I am what I am. Here's the quote I want to share with you by John Newton. John Newton said, I am not what I ought to be. I am not what I want to be. I am not what I hope to be in another world. But still, I am not what I once used to be. And by the grace of God, I am what I am. I think that's a wonderful statement. And I think it's a statement that we can all glean from. That it obviously, I think that this passage probably inspired him. That by the grace of God, we are what we are. We're not what we once were, thanks God. We were not the person that we once were. And yet he's still working on us. Still working out the nature and the character and the attitude and the mindset of his son in our lives. So we're not necessarily who we should be, but who we are is by the grace of God. And we can never lose sight of that, and we can never forget that. So let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for your grace and your love and your mercy to us, that in spite of not deserving it and not even being worthy of it, you still gave it, and you still love us in spite of ourselves and who we were. Lord, I thank you for those who have influenced our lives here and now, that in our past, those people who have really inspired us to know you, whether it's through salvation or to know you better, through our walk with you and through sanctification. Father, we thank you most of all for your son. We do thank you for those, Lord, in our military who have given their lives so that we could be free in this nation, who have given their lives so that we can know you even better because your word is unhindered. Lord, but more than that, we thank you for your son whose death has given us eternal freedom. Lord, we thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you that you did not leave us where we were, but that you did send your Son to seek and save the lost. We thank you that you did rescue us, that you have plucked us and made us your own, that you removed us from this world. Make us a grateful people. Make us a humble people. Make us a people that remember what we were and what you brought us from, so that it might inspire us and stir us to live a life that is more and more like the life that Jesus would live. Father, be with us now. I pray for anything that is going on in our body here, our fellowship, our church, that you would just make yourself real to every individual, that we would just completely trust in you and know that you are intimately involved in every situation in our life. Father, protect anything that we do tomorrow with Memorial Day. Pray for those who are not with us, that you would just bring them back safely to us next week and bring us all back safely here to glorify you, to worship you at this place next Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen. Chief, I took one this morning. I'm trying to think when I took it. It was probably like 9. Okay. Yeah, I'll wait. Yeah. IHOP? You mean Sonic? Sonic? I can... Okay, let me talk. I have a Royal Ranger thing today. I have to be back by 2. Okay. I don't want to hinder you guys either. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And 1.